There's no I in team, but there is one in Indeed, and that's the hiring platform that you need to build yours. When you're hiring, you need Indeed. Instead of spending hours on multiple job sites searching for candidates with the right skills, Indeed's a powerful hiring platform that can help you do it all. One of the things I love about Indeed is that it makes hiring all in one place so easy because Indeed does the hard work for you. They show you the candidates whose resumes on Indeed fit your description immediately after you post so you can hire faster. Join more than 3 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Start hiring now with a $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. Offer good for a limited time. Claim your $75 credit now at Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. And support the show by saying that you heard it on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All right, everybody, and welcome back to Benched with Bubba. This is episode 13. On today's episode, we are welcomed by White Sox Dave. You can find him on Twitter at BarstoolWSD. He is the White Sox, one of the White Sox guys for Barstool Sports. He's been all over the place. We are we're going to get well into the action that took place over the last week on the MLB winter meetings, and more importantly, the craziness that took place with the Chicago White Sox and the wheeling and dealing that took place, Chris Sale and Adam Eaton trades, and the rebuilding of their minor league system and the stuff they get to look forward to on the south side of Chicago. But more importantly, Dave, thanks for joining us. How are you doing today?
I'm doing all right. Ready to get this next trade underway. I mean, it could come any time. It could be a week from now, 2 weeks from now, 2 months from now or tomorrow. So I'm just on the edge of my seat waiting for Quintana to go, really.
Yeah, no, definitely going to get to that. There's a list of five names that I'm curious to get your insight on, and definitely Quintana is on the top of that list. But after Sale, Eaton are gone, the White Sox have a lot more work still to do, and good things coming on that south side. Speaking of which, after those first two deals are done, what's the feeling like with like the fan base and everybody, the emotions high, low? What's the optimism like around there?
The optimism, this is the best I've felt as a White Sox fan since, I think, really 2008. Their most famous game in recent memory after 2005 when they won the World Series was a wild card game against the Twins. It was a 1-0 game. John Danks, back when he was, you know, pre-injury and a really, really good pitcher. It was a wild card game. It was a 1-0 game, and Jim Thome hit a ball about 1,000 feet to win the game. And for the game, the entire stadium did a blackout. Everybody was wearing black. Craziest game in recent memory. And then after that, just it was downhill. I mean, they had all these awesome players, like Eaton, Sale, Quintana, Frazier, Robertson, all these players that other teams want, and they just couldn't build around them with supplementary guys. And the fan base, after watching the Cubs winning it all this year, was just so disgusted with. I mean, they figured they were going to do a half-assed patchwork offseason again, which is what they've been doing. And a lot of people were starting to just give up hope and say, I can't take this anymore. All of a sudden, Sale gets traded. It's a complete 180. The fan base is ecstatic. I mean, we love Chris Sale. He was our favorite player, hands down, but I mean, it was necessary to trade him to get this organization back to being, you know, a perennial contender, hopefully. And we were just sick of seeing 75 win seasons. I mean, what's the point of winning 75 games? You're going to be middle of the pack. You're not going to the playoffs, but you're not getting a high draft pick. I mean, it'd be nice to, you know, have one or the other. And now next year, Sox fans are excited to win 60, maybe 70 games. We can't wait for them to just lose nonstop.
Well, that's true, because you're in a division where you're watching the Royals win the World Series. You're watching the Tigers go to the World Series. Heck, the Twins would be competitive. And you're just sitting around being mediocre at best. And these guys keep rebuilding. The Royals are rebuilding with youth. The Tigers are spending money. Heck, the Twins are actually rebuilding with decent youth, but now they're kind of floundering again. And so something had to be done. So I could see where necessary evil trading Sale, and that'll lead us into it. White Sox, Red Sox, the big news, it seemed like forever Sale was going somewhere, and it looked like it was going to Washington, but they wouldn't get rid of Trey Turner. At least that's from the outsider's approach. That's what it looked like. You might be able to tell.
They weren't. Trey Turner was off the table, which he should have been.
Yes.
Chris Sale is a top few pitcher in baseball, but Trey Turner could be one of the best players in baseball all around for the next decade. If I'm in Washington, he's not going anywhere for anybody, not Kershaw, not anybody. Washington's package actually ended up leaking, and they're the 10th overall prospect in baseball by MLB Pipeline, Victor Robles, was included in the package that they ended up actually getting for Eaton in their trade with Washington. Washington said, here, these are the four players we're offering up. Kenny Williams, Rick Hahn, Jerry Reinsdorf all got together, said, okay, let's bring this to Boston, see if they can up it. They upped it, and here we are. Washington got played like a fiddle twice by Rick Hahn. What Rick Hahn did was just he played the Washington Nationals.
Rick Hahn, it sounds bad. I don't try to act like I know. I act like I know a lot about baseball because I feel like I know a lot about baseball, but I didn't even know who Rick Hahn was before last week.
Yeah, you wouldn't.
And after just that day alone or those 2 days, I definitely know who Rick Hahn is now because he did things, especially after the Adam Eaton deal, that were just amazing.
Well, here's the dynamic of the White Sox, all right? Jerry Reinsdorf owns the team. He also owns the Chicago Bulls. He is 81 now, I believe. He's on the team for 30-some years. I despise the man because he's done a lot of bad for baseball and to the White Sox and to the Bulls. Not that I'm a huge diehard Bulls fan, but the organizations are ran exactly the same. And underneath him is Kenny Williams. Kenny Williams is he's a peer of Theo Epstein. If you ask 90% of baseball fans who the Cubs general manager was, they'd say Theo Epstein. But that is incorrect. It's Jed Hoyer. Jed Hoyer is GM. Kenny Williams is supposed to be the Theo Epstein of the White Sox, but he's not. He's a hothead. He's a ego. He's an egomaniac, at least from the outside looking in. And Rick Hahn, who's supposed to be like architecting trades, architecting contracts, all this stuff, he has to go through the chain of command to even do his own job. And it wasn't working for a long time because Rick Hahn's been the general manager 5 years now. Finally, they said, all right, Rick, we're going to give you the keys to the kingdom. We're going to let you do your thing. We're going to see if you can do this because obviously what we're doing is not working. And in two moves, he's completely changed the course of the entire White Sox, next almost decade maybe. So, if you ask any White Sox fan, they will always have Rick Hahn's back because they always knew he wasn't actually the one that was fucking this up. And now that it's clear that he has the reins to the sled dogs, the organization immediately looks better. So, we're really excited. It's a good time to be a White Sox fan, finally.
Yeah, no, that was amazing. Let's get into the deal. So it was the deal between the White Sox and the Red Sox. It was Chris Sale going for one of the top prospects in all of baseball, if not the top prospect, depending on which site you look at. Yoan Moncada. Then you get the pitcher Michael Kopech. I probably mispronounced that.
Kopech, yep.
Kopech. You get Luis Alexander Bessé, the outfielder. Wasabi. And Victor Diaz. So four really good prospects. Kopech was throwing – reports were 105 last season. But those are reports. People are saying BS. Regardless, he was throwing gas.
Yeah, he's got a cannon.
Yeah. And he looks – now this will piss Carabas off. He looks a lot like Buchholz to me. But what's your take on – we all know how great Moncada is. This kid is phenomenal. people were critiquing his little stint in the bigs last year, but I call bullshit on that. It was a little stint. It was off and on. Everybody knows a lot of people's first times in the bigs when they're not getting full-time playing time and all this crap, they're not going to – it's their first shot. Give me a break. No one's Mike Trout. Mike Trout wasn't even that good his first time in the bigs. Like, let's get a dose of reality here for a second. Take a step back. He'll be fine.
It's I mean, my one thing with all returns in these deals is these guys are prospects.
Thank you. That's a
no matter how high of prospects they're ranked, no matter how hard they can throw, no matter how fast they can run or how far they can hit the ball, there's always the potential for a bust. That's the give and take. I mean, a lot of Red Sox fans were pissed off with dealing those four players for one player, but you're getting as sure of a thing as it gets in Chris Sale for potential to be a sure thing. And that, I mean, all four of these players might fizzle out. They might not, you know, amount to their prospect ranking. So that's the give and take in these trades. You're trading a little in quantity, but in return, you're getting, you know, a sure thing. And any Red Sox fan who's bitching about giving up Yoan Moncada, the Red Sox on paper are the best team in the American League, bar none right now. So they can bitch all they want. If they win World Series, who gives a shit?
You literally have three Cy Young pitchers in your top three in the rotation. Regardless if you feel Porcello is a Cy Young or not, he won the Cy Young, so you got to get over that right now. You have three Cy Young award winners.
Sales actually hasn't won one yet.
No, but I'm saying
he's caliber,
so you got legit three Cy Young pitchers right there. That's ridiculous. So basically, the Red Sox traded for the now, White Sox traded for the future. But yeah, that's a phrase I always say: is prospects are prospects till proven otherwise. So you have to just live with that. What's your Moncada is what people expect. What's your takeaway on these three other guys that most people probably have no clue who they are? And
I followed Kopech quite a bit coming up because I always knew without actually knowing that the White Sox and Red Sox would eventually make this trade happen. I knew it would start around Benintendi or Moncada, and Kopech would be the number two piece. And so I've watched a lot of them. I mean, not in person. I've watched a lot of YouTube videos and shit. And he's raw, but I mean the measurables. I mean, it's stuff you can't teach. You can tell just by watching him pitch. He's insanely competitive, which I love. He throws hard. His slider's great. And then the other two guys, I'll admit, I don't know much about. If Basabe has a good year this year, everybody's saying that he could vault into the top 50 overall prospects. So, and then Diaz throws 102. He's a project arm, but he's one that the White Sox think they can turn into a really good back end of the rotation arm. So, the juice was worth the squeeze in those four players.
Most definitely. All right, so then we'll go into the one trade that when I saw this come over the waves, I was just jaw hit the floor. I honestly have no clue what the Nationals were thinking on this one, unless I just really have no idea. Adam Eaton's a good baseball player, but I'm just lost on this one. White Sox Nationals, Adam Eaton for three pitching prospects, Lucas Giolito, Ronaldo Lopez, and Dane Dunning. And it's not even Giolito that gets me. I am huge on Ronaldo Lopez.
That same with me.
And last year, Dane Dunning was the first-round draft pick. He was, I believe, 29th overall for the Nationals, as in 2016 draft. Ronaldo Lopez had a small little cup of coffee this last year with in the bigs. He's got some nasty stuff. Giolito, he might get fixed, but he's not. I don't think he's going to be as good as people expected he's going to be. But he could still be like a third or fourth starter. But this Lopez kid could be great, I think. What's your takeaway? What were the Nats seeing in this? You saw Eaton a lot more than I've seen him and others. What's the takeaway on this trade?
Eaton's a really, really, really good baseball player. Although all his stats, nothing pops out to you. But, I mean, he's everything you want in a top of the order bat. He's a really good outfielder. He's a good base runner. He plays hard. He's gritty, all that good stuff. And but when I saw the return they got for him, I kind of did the same thing. Like, I mean, a lot of his value was in his contract because he's still controlled for another 5 years at $38 million. So a player of his age, contract status, and productivity level, that's going to cost a lot. What they got in return, I didn't think was going to be three potential top-of-the-rotation arms, even though you and I both agree on Giolito. He's still – I mean, he's still 21 years old and can throw 100. He might turn into a number one. So regardless, it was still after Eaton. I mean, Dane Dunning has a really, really low floor. He'll never be great, I don't think, but he'll be just a solid back of the rotation starter that any team would love to have. And I mean, and then like you said, I've been watching a ton of Reynaldo Lopez highlights. He's just disgusting. And I mean, you pair those three up with a few of the current farmhands the White Sox already have, and their rotation could be set already come 2018-19 for the next 6-7 years.
You put him with Kopech right there. You already got four starters in those two
trades. Exactly. Right, just right there.
That Han just pulled that off right there in two trades. That's disgusting. And that's what's like you said the White Sox fans need to realize what just took place in like a 48-hour span. But, like you said, the contract, I see what you're saying there. That part makes sense. And I wasn't trying to say he's a bad player.
No, everybody thinks he's a really good player. Just yeah. They didn't think he'd get that kind of return.
That's what I'm trying to say. And the only other thing is I want to clarify also in the market, because like you look at the going rates, like what a Fowler was paid and these other guys.
Whatever it was.
Like they're getting stupid money. So I see that angle. They either have to go out and pay for someone or I can go trade for Eaton. Go that route. But that return, I was just wow. Do you see any of these guys like Giolito or even Lopez starting out the season in the rotation?
No, none of them will. They're going to want to get that extra year of control before they hit arbitration. All these guys, none of them will be up before June at the earliest, no matter how good they're doing, just because they don't want to reach free agency before it's too early. And then it's a rebuilding year. They don't have to rush anybody. They have the ability to be patient now. So
yeah, hell, they can lose 100. No one cares.
Yeah, exactly right. So why let them get seasoned up? Let them get all the work they need to in AAA, and come 2018 start or mid 2017 start assimilating them into Chicago, and come 2018-19. Let it rip.
Okay. Well, that leads me into the next thing then, because now that Sale's gone, let's talk next piece. You already mentioned him. And this guy has – talking Adam Eaton had a good deal in place. We got the 27-year-old arm, Jose Quintana. He's a lefty who everybody wants. I said he's 27.
He's got a great – about to turn 28 in like a month, I think. But regardless –
great contract in place, only $7 million in 17, 8.85 in 18, club options for 19 and 20 of 10.5 and 11.5. These are great prices for a left-handed arm in this marketplace. He's going to fetch quite the King's Ransom. As obviously, all the reports are showing, I've seen your Twitter feed, they're asking for a King's Ransom. I know the Astros have looked. What are you expecting? If you had a crystal ball, what are you seeing take place?
I honestly think the Astros will eventually cave. They know that their starting rotation is not good enough as is to win in the postseason. I mean, look at what the Indians did last year, for instance. They had one stud shutdown arm in Corey Kluber, and they were able to ride that arm through the World Series. And the Astros, rather, don't have that right now. Keuchel had the good year 2 years ago. Last year he was terrible, and no matter how good their offense is, which it is really good right now, the playoffs are about pitching. They're going to make the playoffs. I'd be shocked if they didn't. But once they get there, if they're playing a Cleveland or even a Toronto or a Boston now, they're not winning that series. I mean, the offenses aren't that. I mean, their offense isn't that much better, if at all, than Toronto or Cleveland, and it's not as good as Boston. And all three of those teams have better pitching stats. So they need that one guy that can come in and curb those bats in the playoffs. And Jose Quintana is the best pitcher available to do that right now. So I think they do meet their demands eventually. I don't think Musgrove, as much as I like him, will be included in that deal. I think it'll be centered around Francisco Martes and Kyle Tucker, two prospects again. Martes, who probably has the stuff to pitch in the major leagues right now, but again, if he were playing in Chicago, he wouldn't need to until midseason or later. And then a couple lower level bats. Kyle Tucker was a fifth overall pick a few years ago. He projects to be a 25 home run, 25 stolen base guy in the outfield from the left side of the plate. So, yeah, they're just going to wait until teams cave. And eventually one of them will, because they know they need Jose Quintana more than the White Sox need to trade Jose Quintana.
Yes. What about you got your closer, David Robinson. Kenley Jansen went off the market today, got a nice 5-year, 80 mil. So that pretty much takes all the big names, Melanson, Chapman, Jansen. Robertson's still pretty decent price, $12 million, $13 million the next 2 years. Where do you think the Nats need him? Nats, you already fleeced them once. You think you'd fleece them again?
Who was it? I saw someone tweet today that the Nationals and the White Sox are in talks about David Robertson. And if the White Sox are serious, they'll ask for Victor Robles, who's the fourth piece in the trade the Nationals offered to Chicago for sale. And if that actually happened, it would be absolutely hilarious. The White Sox would have their entire farm system. And
that would be robbery.
It would be robbery. But the Nationals are in desperation mode too, because Bryce Harper's bouncing on them in 2 years. So they need to win now if they're ever going to win. All those players are getting older. I mean, Scherzer's still great, but I mean, power pitchers, they don't get better when they're on the wrong side of 30. They can maybe sustain it, but they're not getting better. And so they got a really short window, and Robertson absolutely would improve their bullpen. They lost Melanson last year, who acquired at the deadline, and so they need that shutdown arm. Robertson's not necessarily shutdown, but he's a very, very good pitcher. Not a great one, but a very good one. And if the Nationals are serious, I mean, the White Sox hold all the leverage in that deal. Hey, if you want to win the World Series with one of our guys, you need to come to our price, as is the case for a lot of, all the White Sox players. So, yeah, I'd start there. I'd say, yeah, Victor Robles or no go. I mean,
now those
go ahead.
Yeah. No, it's fine, because if they can pull Victor Robles out, that would just be
– it'd be hilarious insane. To me. And
it would be awesome, man. I don't blame them for asking for it, because they are desperate, because you already know Harper's going to the Yankees, and that's just a match made in heaven there. And they are desperate, because that was the best part is – they offered, I haven't seen the number, but they offered more money than the Dodgers did for Jansen, and Jansen told them no. So the Nationals' offseason has just been horrific. They can't get anything right now.
Nothing right. I think it was like $5 million. Yeah. So at $80 million, might as well stay home for $5 million less when you're making that much money. But
yeah,
the Aspro or the Nationals are in desperation mode right now. Like we both just said, they need a shutdown arm, and the White Sox do have two of them. They got another guy, Nate Jones, who's probably better than Robertson. He just isn't paid closers money, and the White Sox don't need him to close right now. So,
yeah, you guys signed into a decent deal last year.
Yeah, five years for $8 million. And if what I would do if I were the White Sox, I would trade Robertson and, get whatever for him. I mean, I don't think they'll end up getting Robles for him. It would be hilarious and be crazy if they did, but I don't think that'll end up happening. But trade Robertson, let Jones close. Hopefully he can, scrounge together 15 saves out of the 20 games the White Sox win next year by the All-Star break, and flip him at the deadline too.
Yeah. Next up, we got the Todd Father, Todd Frazier, who you guys traded for last offseason. originally thought to go to LA, but they signed their little ginger Justin Turner today to a pretty decent deal. So that was the only place I heard him going to. Is there anywhere else, any buzz for Todd Frazier anywhere?
That's what everybody assumes is going to happen. And there's no, I mean, if the Dodgers would have lost Turner to free agency, they would have gotten a comp pick. So they would have needed to sign someone next year without a compensation pick attached. And I don't think Frazier will. So he would have been a perfect fit there. He's a good ball player. I mean, he's kind of boomer bust. He's really frustrating to watch at times, but 40 home runs, 100 RBIs, can't argue with those numbers. I don't know how well those numbers would play at a stadium like Dodger Stadium, which is a good pitcher's park, but he knows the National League already. He knows the game. But yeah, now that that's off the table, I'd say St. Louis. The Mets are another option that I've heard floating around out there, and maybe, you know, a dark horse team or two like Pittsburgh or something that you know, want to win right now. So we'll see. I don't think he'll return much at all, if anything, because he's only on a one-year deal for like $17 million. And he's aging, and outside of his power numbers, he wasn't that good at all last year. But, I mean, if you can return a top 100 guy for him, there's another top 100 guy.
Yeah, true. Now, one that I was kind of surprised about, because I heard his name in the mix, and then I looked at his numbers for, like, availability, arbitration, and everything, I could see the reason for flipping him is Abreu actually being talked about in trade.
Nobody is untouchable on the White Sox. If anybody would have – I thought that if they were going to keep anybody, they would have kept Eaton, because he's controlled for five more years, and he could have feasibly – been the starting right fielder or center fielder by the time of competitive again. But after they traded him, they made it clear that if anybody wants our players, you have to come to us and meet our prices. And if you do, that player is yours. And first base, it isn't as it's not as thin on solid first baseman available right now. So I don't know how much Abreu would return either. But, he's a productive player. He signed cheap for three more years as well. And, he would make any team better. Any team he plays for whatsoever, he's making better.
Okay. Interesting. All right. Well, that kind of wraps up the White Sox portion of things. I have a question actually on the White Sox. One more question. With just those initial deals, and obviously we have more to come, you said this next season's kind of already thrown away, obviously. Get ready to start competing in the following season. How long before you think they're actually going to be competitive?
I think, 2017, like you said, that's a punt year. They're going to win 60 to 70 games, hopefully get the first overall pick, which I would love. Then 2018, all these guys will be hopefully ready to contribute every day. I mean, then win 80-ish to 90, maybe max out at 90 wins if all these guys, if they all hit their peaks. Show those flashes of, these guys are going to be really good. And then 2019, after they've had a year under their belts, they're going to have hardly any payroll. I mean, there's going to be awesome free agents available, like Manny Machado. They could throw $50 million a year at, and they still wouldn't crack.
That's all going to happen.
$100 million in payroll.
Ask you before you said that is, with all this young talent, because they're shipping everybody out, the new CBA has some really interesting tax breaks now. But with all these young guys, and in 2 years, the list of free agents is just ridiculous. They could probably sign two or three guys if they really wanted to.
They could.
Does the philosophy under Hahn, would that be something?
I don't know if it would be the philosophy of Reinsdorf, because he's never done that. His most expensive contract ever, $68 million for Jose Abreu. That's the second lowest contract that's the biggest in franchise history. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Exactly.
I think the Pirates are the only team that's got a lower largest, and it's like $57 million or something.
So that's kind of what I wanted to ask is, with the – you said that they kind of started to let Han make decisions on the roster. Are they going to let him start making financial decisions on the payroll?
They should. Their payroll the last 5 or 7 years hovered around $130 million. If they sign a – you know, just throw a random – say $40 million a year for Manny Machado for 8 years, what is – what's the difference between that huge contract coupled with a bunch of $600,000 contracts and your payroll is about $100 million? I know a lot of that's invested into one player, but what I mean
– I have no problem with
it. Who cares, you know?
Well, I agree completely. Zero problem with that. But I was just wondering if they're going to change it, because that's something, like I said, I've never seen them do it that way.
No, they haven't. So that's what we're all kind of worried about right now, that they would have to change their organizational philosophy right there.
Yeah, because it's one thing to get all this young talent, but you still have to spend something around them.
Right.
That's the whole thing, is you can't just let the youth run wild. It doesn't work all that way. But interesting. Okay, outside of the White Sox, like I said, there was a lot of other activity last week and a little bit before that. What's kind of some of the bigger trades and signings that kind of caught your attention that were like either surprises or really good moves for other teams that you noticed?
I still didn't really get the Chapman signing for the Yankees. I mean, I did and I didn't. They're not going to be good next year still. It's going to be another 2 or 3 years before they're good. And then by then, Chapman could be on his downswing. They're paying him a ton of money. And if you're a rebuilding team, which the Yankees still are, then what's the point of having an expensive and elite closer like that? So that one I was kind of a little, you know, confused by, if that's the right word. Cubs made a good deal to get Wade Davis. They traded what's his face for him?
Soler.
Yeah, Jorge Soler, who I just think sucks at baseball. Wade Davis is really great, great. He's one of the nastiest pitchers in baseball. He's been better than Chapman the last few years. So, I mean, health's a concern for him, so it's a little different. But really good trade for the Cubs. I mean, solidified the back end of the pen again, which is what won the World Series a year ago.
Yep. Yeah, no, the Chapman one, I've never been a fan of spending that kind of money on a closer. I never understood it at all. You see how I might be biased as a Giants fan, win three World Series of three different closers in a 5 year span. So you just, mm-hmm. you don't need to spend for close given. I'm also pissed off because you blow 30 saves in one season. So you should have a fucking closer, but that's a whole other story right there. But yeah, that's a lot of money, but let's play a little, there's some free agents out there. Where do you think they're going to end up? I have a feeling Edwin Encarnacion is this year's Ian Desmond. Where do you think he's going?
Yeah, it's such a weird one. I heard Houston like a week and a half ago. That didn't happen, actually. And I had two really sure things telling me that he was going to sign in Houston. That's not looking like it's going to happen at all anymore. I wouldn't be surprised if I mean, now he has no leverage with Toronto. They already offered him 4 for $80. Now they could tell him, you know, 4 for $50 or 4 for $40 or whatever it is. I wouldn't be surprised if he does a Yo-type deal, Cespedes. A really top-heavy front-loaded contract with two opt-outs so he could just do it all again next year. Yeah. Rebuild his market, rebuild his value. I mean, not that he has to. He's been great. But where he ends up at this point, I don't even know where he fits. Probably back – if you were to hold a gun to my head, I'd say back in Toronto.
That's kind of what I'm thinking. He came out guns blazing like he was king of the world, top free agent out there. And it seems like now he's going to come crawling back to Toronto and taking not like a small deal. He'll still get paid, but it's not going to be close to what I think he wanted or thought he was going to get.
He wanted 5 for $125 million.
Yeah, and that's – I think he'll be lucky. I think he'll probably be looking more in the, 17 range maybe. 17, 18 range would be my guess.
Something like that, yeah. And yeah, something like that.
Yeah, I think he'll probably get – I'd say a 3 to 4 year deal, like you said, maybe an opt out after 2 or 3 years. Joey Batts, I could see a similar situation. What are you seeing with Joey Batts?
I wouldn't be surprised if he signs in Boston. I know they said they don't have any money. That could just be posturing him, the Red Sox trying to leverage his market to their favor. But they need a replacement for Ortiz. I know he's not lefty, but Mitch Moreland's not. He's not a replacement for David Ortiz, which is their only other option right now. They just traded Travis Shaw to Milwaukee. So, they need to replace that David Ortiz production. And right now, Eon or Joey Batts are the best two to do it.
Yeah, and Joey Batts with that with the Green Monster right there, he could hit pop flies out all day long.
Both of them could.
That's a match made in heaven right there. Well, Edwin, I thought was the perfect fit there. Played first base, and I don't know how that didn't work out. But and Boston saying they don't have money is silly to me.
Yeah, but they have money. They have plenty of money.
Yeah, that's a joke. The one that's I don't understand this. I must be missing something here. But what's the issue with Matt Wieters not finding a job right now? He's one of the better catchers in baseball, and he even hits pretty well. Is there something really wrong with him?
I don't know. I think he kind of stinks. He's a good catcher, I guess, but
defensively, at least, a catcher.
Yeah, defensively, he's a good catcher, but offensively, he kind of drives me crazy watching him. Strikes out. He's really streaky. I'm sure he's looking for top dollar as well. He's the best catcher of but who needs a catcher right now? I couldn't even tell you. Like the White Sox do, but they don't want to pay him what he's worth. I would take him if it was like, you know, dirt cheap money and a short-term contract just because he could, you know, he's a good receiver for a young pitching staff. But I don't know. I have no idea where he ends up. Maybe, I don't know, National League somewhere.
Yeah. No, those are good points. And the Rays, I thought the Rays made a phenomenal deal on Wilson Ramos, 2 years, $12 million. I thought that was a great deal for him.
And they'll flip him too.
Oh, yeah, and they'll get a good deal for him as well. And this is the one I'm really curious about because he got a decent deal with Baltimore, then he went bananas. Mark Trumbo, what do you think's coming with this guy? Because he could easily get paid big and then go hit a $150 somewhere and be irrelevant again.
Yeah, I wouldn't touch him with a 10-foot pole, but apparently Colorado's in on him. They now just signed Ian Desmond, and Ian Desmond's slotted to be a first baseman right now. Ian Desmond's not a first baseman. He's way too athletic. He could play anywhere on the diamond and be more than adequate there. He doesn't need to play first base, so it makes sense to move him to, you know, a swing player where, you know, plays every day, a new position. And then insert Trumbo, have him hit 200 with 40 bombs at Coors Field. But other than that, I haven't heard there's much of a market for Trumbo either.
Yeah, no, it seems like Baltimore acts like they care every, like, 2 weeks. And then Colorado throws their hat in the mix. The Desmond one, he got paid, but when they said first base, I was wondering what the heck that's all about. That's just silly. But they have four left-handed outfielders still, so they got to move somebody. I don't know what they have
going on. Yeah, Manny Parra's probably gone, I'd assume.
Yeah, he's going to have to be because you're not moving Dahl. He's too talented and too young.
Right.
And they want too much for Blackman and Cargo, so who knows. But and then one last one. The Pirates have pretty much pissed off Andrew McCutchen. He's doing all the right PR moves in public. You could pretty much tell the Pirates you're not going to give him much of anything pretty soon, and they're just going to have to get rid of him. Who do you think he's going to get traded to?
I wouldn't be surprised if they hang on to him. He's going to – I mean, his value is low anyways. He's coming off a bad year. He has value to rebuild. They could always flip him at the deadline. I don't think he's going anywhere this winter.
Okay. Interesting. I think he's still good. I think he's still a really good ball player, but yeah.
He is.
He's not the MVP McCutchen. You're right.
Right.
He's not that McCutchen anymore because they were asking for the MVP value.
Right. And
he's not that guy. But, man, did they burn some bridges because you could see it in the interviews he's had lately. It's not been pretty.
Yeah, he's not happy. He probably shouldn't be. He's the face of that organization. He wants to be there for life.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Dave, you got anything else for us today?
No, just ready to keep this off-season hot stove going.
Yeah, no, there's going to be a lot more coming up. Free agent-wise, looks like it slowed down a bit, but, you know, there'll be more to come. But I appreciate it, man. Thanks for coming on. A lot of good stuff. Your White Sox, man. I can't wait for that Quintana one to come down.
We're all waiting for it, too. I hope it happens soon.
I hope it does, too, because every day it's like a new report and then this and that and just all over the place. It's going to happen sooner or later. Someone's going to get drunk at drinking a whiskey at night and pull the trigger. It's going to happen.
Right, yeah.
And then hopefully you guys can fleece the Nats for Robertson. That would just be phenomenal.
It would make my winter if that happened.
That'd be great. Well, I appreciate it, man. You guys can follow Dave. He's a White Sox Dave. You can find him on Twitter at BarstoolWSD. Again, thanks for joining me, Dave.
No problem, man. Anytime.
And this was episode 13 of Benched with Bubba. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll catch you next time.
Life's better with a home policy from American Family Insurance because you'll feel protected no matter how the wind blows. Also, you can keep enjoying the home of your dreams. And our expert agents can help you save up to 23% when you bundle home with auto. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. American Family Insurance. Get a quote. Find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.